In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Those words were written by Henry Francis Light. He was born in Scotland. He's a Scottish man. June 1st, 1793, he went to Trinity College in Dublin, Ireland, and he was ordained into the Church of England. But he was known to be frail in his body, and his health was continually threatened by asthma. And despite his physical frailties, he had a very, very strong faith and was a tireless worker. He had a reputation as a poet and as a musician and as a minister. He was the one who coined the phrase, and I have to say this with a Scottish accent, it's better to wear out than to rust out. And he did. Wherever Henry Light ministered, he was greatly loved and admired by his people. For the last 23 years of his life, he pastored a parish. That's a misspelling. He pastored a parish church among lowly fishing people at Lower Brixham, Devonshire, England. However, in 1844, at the tender age of 51, Henry Francis Light was diagnosed with tuberculosis. Now, today, if you were diagnosed with tuberculosis, it wouldn't be as big of a deal because we now have drugs that treat tuberculosis. As a matter of fact, how many of you even hear about tuberculosis anymore? You probably don't even hear about it that much. I mean, you have to take your TB test every once in a while to make sure you don't have it. But other than that, probably none of you know a whole lot of people that have ever had tuberculosis. We've almost completely wiped it out, at least here in the United States. There were 12,904 cases of tuberculosis that was in 2008, and it is treatable by drugs. However, there is a small percentage of tuberculosis that is not treatable by drugs. They're called drug-resistant tuberculosis. They're mean little buggers. And there were actually 644 deaths of tuberculosis here in the United States in 2006. But across the United States, they have not wiped out tuberculosis. It is still around, and it is a horrible disease because once you contract tuberculosis, you will have it until it is eradicated in third world countries around the world. If it is not treated, it will kill you. You will die a slow death where you will emaciate away. As a matter of fact, that's why they call it consumption. You've heard of tuberculosis being called consumption? It's because it consumes you. Today, you don't see that very much. But in Henry Light's time, Henry Francis Light's time, the guy who wrote this hymn, when he contracted tuberculosis, there were no drugs. There were no cures. There was only a prolongation of the eventual, the fact that he would die from this disease. And so he continued to minister and to work at his parish while his body started to slowly decay. He lost weight. He started to cough. He became emaciated. He became thin. And he wore out his body. As he said, it is better to wear out than to rust out. Because Henry Light was dying of tuberculosis. I've often wondered, we have these discussions every once in a while, is it better to go slowly or is it better to go quickly? Quickly. I heard quickly. It is a big debate. There are some people that don't even know the moment when they're going to be in front of Jesus. My niece, Mackenzie, was one of them. She was killed last year. And she had her head down and she was texting. And I found out this week, her mother spoke at the National Youth Gathering, and I found out this week that she was looking down and she was typing the word T-O-M-O. What word was she typing? Tomorrow. But there was no tomorrow for her. A truck came and snapped her neck and the brain stem. She had absolutely no idea. She was typing T-O-M-O and she looked up and there's Jesus. And it brings great comfort to her parents to know that she absolutely spent no time suffering, that there was nothing, that was just an instantaneous thing. But there are other people who think that maybe it's better to go slowly. There was a friend of mine, I grew up in Phoenix, and right across the street was a family, and they were Lutheran, we were Lutheran, we went to the same church, we played with their kids, we went to the same school, Lutheran school, and he died last month, the father of that family, and he contracted cancer. And he did everything in his power to try to fight that cancer, but finally it took him. It took him about 3 years before he finally passed away last month. But he was able to spend time with his whole family. He was able to spend time with his kids. He was able to get his affairs arranged. So which is it better? Is it better to go quickly or is it better to go slowly? And Scripture doesn't speak to this. It's just it's an academic debate that I bring up for you to consider at the dinner table today. But the fact is, don't you guys talk about these things at the dinner table? I do. Okay, well, so maybe that's why I eat alone a lot. I don't know. But why would God cause suffering? Why does he let Henry Francis Light go through this horribly painful process where on day one, you know that you're going to die in a few years, and yet you've got to slowly watch your body emaciate and decay and go through all this. And it seems unfair, and we cry out to God and say, God, why are you doing this to us? And the answers to why that is actually in our Old Testament lesson for today. We read Isaiah 43, chapter 1. Now, you'll have to remember that Isaiah lived at the time when they were being exported to Babylon. There was a lot of stress. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of sorrow that was going on by the Israelites at this time. And I want to back up just one chapter because it explains why there is suffering in the world. And there's really two reasons. Isaiah 42, chapter 42, verse 18. This is what Isaiah says. This is from God. He says, "Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messengers I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You've seen many things, but you've paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. It pleased the Lord for your sake and his righteousness to make his law great and glorious." You see, one of the reasons why we have suffering in this world is because it points us to God. Because when you are going through suffering in your life, that's at the moments of your life when you reach out to God. Think about the people who were involved in 9/11, this whole country. Well, how long ago was that? And right after the 9/11 attacks happened, there was a huge surge in the churches because people were looking for answers to their questions that they had. And it's at times of death and times of struggle in your life when you are going to reach out and look for the answers to the questions you have. Think about it. The reasons that you struggle in this life are because of original sin in your life, but it is during those times when you start looking for the answers of God. And that's also what Isaiah says later on in the chapter. This is in verse 23. He says, "Which of you will listen to this or pay close attention in time to come? Who handed Jacob over to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we've sinned? For they would not follow his ways, they did not obey his laws. So he poured out on them his burning anger, the violence of war, enveloped them in flames, yet still they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart." You see, the sin that we have with us from original sin, from Adam, is still with us today. And we do these sinful things, and God pours out his anger on us. And yet, even in the midst of that anger, there is a promise. We're all of us, heading towards death. We're all of us in that pain that exists from the time that we know that we're dying until the time that we're dying. We're all existing in that right now. Just look in the mirror. I look in the mirror and I'm getting more gray and the back is starting to hurt and things in my body aren't working like they should. I'm headed towards death. And it's as you're headed towards death that you reach out to God and say, God, be with me. God, look upon me. Abide with me. That's the message that Francis knew as he was dying. He left his congregation. He left his congregation. Over the next 3 years, his physical condition deteriorated until finally on September 4th, 1847, at the age of 54, he stood in the pulpit for the last time to deliver his farewell message. That same afternoon, after taking a walk on the beach, Henry retired to his room, and he emerged about an hour later with a written copy of the text, "To Abide With Me." Now, you all know the song, "Abide With Me." It's sung at funerals. It's sung at all times of the church. As a matter of fact, I found out as I was researching this that it's sung at national soccer tournaments in some countries. Go figure. I don't know. Why it's sung at national soccer tournaments, I have no idea. But it is a very, very popular song, and all of Christendom knows it. What are the words? Abide with me, fast falls the evening tide, whatever. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless Lord, abide with me. It's the same sentiment that's given to us by Isaiah in chapter 53 as we move on. At chapter 43, where Isaiah says this, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Francis Light knew in those dark, deep hours of his life, as he was dying of consumption, as he gave his last sermon, that God truly would abide with him. Why? Because he was a child of God. And God never leaves his children. That's a promise from Isaiah. When you are a child of God, he will be with you, not only the great times in your life, but in the darkest hours of your life, yea, even at death. He is there with you. He's watching over you. And Francis Light knew that. You know, what's funny is I was doing research for this sermon and this hymn, I came across an absolutely fascinating account and a paper of a guy who wrote a thesis. And the thesis is this. There was an allure about tuberculosis in the middle of the 19th century. When people learned that they had tuberculosis, particularly poets, it is long believed that they became more poetic, they became deeper, they became more thoughtful. And there's actually a paper written that shows that of all the poets, when they got tuberculosis, their faith got deeper, their poetry got deeper. It's an amazing thing. And he goes through a bunch of different poets. Even Edgar Allan Poe and Mark Twain knew this. And it was widely believed that when you got tuberculosis, as you emaciated and died away, your mind became more active, and your faith became more active, and your poetry became more active, and everything became more alive to you in that period of time. And it was in that period of time when Francis Light wrote the text of the words, "Abide with me," and they are beautiful words. He's written other hymns, and you can look at them, but there's nothing as beautiful as that hymn that he wrote as he was dying, and he preached his last sermon, and he was headed to the French Riviera to go find a drier climate so that he could live out the rest of his days. And it was as he wrote that text and went to that journey that he only lived about another month, and then he passed away. But what a great testimony to the power of God working in his life, that God would not leave him, that God would not abandon him, that even in the darkest hours of his life, God would be there with him. And God is there with us, even in the darkest hours of our life. So when you get to the point of your life when you are not maybe dying instantaneously, but you are dying from something, and trust me, folks, we're all dying for something. The last time I checked, the death rate remained constant. And what is it? It's one per person. Well, almost. There were a couple people that didn't die. They went off into heaven, but pretty much just one per person. Someday you will be faced with that. And at that moment, the darkest moment of your life, God will be there, and he will abide with you. He's redeemed you. He's claimed you. You are his own. He will never leave you. I thought it would be interesting tonight or today to just sing that verse 1 a cappella of Abide With Me, because it's such a beautiful text. I absolutely love the text of this hymn. So let's join together, if I can find it, and sing. Oh, it's on a previous page. Here we go. Verse 1, page 5. Why don't you join with me and we'll sing. Abide with me. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. And he always will. In Jesus' name, amen.